Welcome back. This episode, we're going to be revisiting our Albums by the Decade series and looking specifically at the mighty Black Sabbath. And to help us with this review, I've invited my brother and fellow headbanger, Jeff. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello.
So you guys out there who visit our website, www.themightydecibel.com, and read the print reviews, will recognize Jeff's name. He's one of our main writers there on the site. So Jeff, why don't you tell us a little bit about your own personal heavy metal preferences and journey?
Oh, well, my heavy metal journey would have begun pretty much the same day yours did, when our elder brother brought home Black Sabbath Volume 4. It was probably around 74 or 75, somewhere in there. And I remember hearing Supernaut for the first time and thinking that it was the most brilliant thing I'd ever heard. I mean, up to that point, I'd been listening to the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and the Beach Boys and things like
Alice
that.
Alice Cooper.
Yeah. And but when I heard Supernaut, I couldn't believe how brilliant it was, and still is. And from there, you and I started both listening to, Nazareth and Aerosmith, Ted Nugent, that kind of stuff. I distinctly remember our older brother on the same day, it was around 1977, maybe 78, somewhere in there, he handed over, you and I were listening to Nugent, I think, or maybe Triumph or something, or Rush.
And, don't embarrass us.
And our elder brother handed us over AC/DC, Let There Be Rock, the Sex Pistols, Nevermind the Bollocks, and the Ramones, Rocket to Russia, all in a package, and said, "You guys will love this." And that, he was right.
Yeah. Well, it set the tone, right? We got into heavy metal, we got into hard rock, we got into punk, we got into everything at that point. Yeah, at the time, remember when we were growing up, there was, this separation normally of people between the punk and the heavy metal, but we never had it, mainly because our brother handed us both, we love the Ramones, we love the Pistols, we love, the Damned, we love Ted Nugent, Black Sabbath, everything. So, yeah.
Yeah. These days, I still listen to the old albums, but I also listen to, I love thrash, 80s thrash, I absolutely love, and even the new stuff too. I get exposed to a lot of it, of course, on the Mighty Decibel, and punk. I listen to a lot of punk these days too.
Yeah. All right. So why don't we get into it? The rules of engagement are pretty simple here. We're going to go by each decade. So we're talking about 80s, 70s, 80s, and 90s for Sabbath. And for each of those decades, we'll name our two faves, our two least faves, and then we'll touch on potentially an overrated or underrated record for each of those decades, which takes us, we're going to do this chronologically, which takes us to the 70s. So we've got 8 albums in the 70s to cover here, starting with the self-titled in 1970 all the way through to 1978 with Never Say Die. So Jeff, won't you get started with the your two faves?
Number one has to be Volume 4. It's not only my favorite Sabbath album of the 70s, it's my favorite Sabbath album, period. It's an eclectic album. It's very different. It was really well written. Whatever cocaine these guys were doing when they wrote this album, they should have kept doing it, because it was absolutely brilliant. It's heavy as hell, and yet it's still experimental. That's what I really like about it, the variety on it. I would only say the only downside for me is FX, which is a minute and 44 seconds long. It should have been 44 seconds long. It leads into Supernaut, which is great, but there's 1 minute of dead time. But on an entire album that's otherwise absolutely brilliant from start to finish, I can put up with 1 minute.
So so a lot of people who are detractors of the album would point to Changes as the weak spot.
I love Changes. Sabbath are one of the few bands, heavy metal bands, that can actually do ballads well. I love Changes. I remember in Tony Iommi's book where he talks about writing that song, because he didn't know how to play the piano, but he was just sitting down at a piano and started playing the main piano back fill, and it came from there. And Ozzy's voice carries that that song. I'm more of a Dio guy. I don't think Ozzy's voice carries many songs, but on that one, he absolutely does, and it's I think Changes is great.
Okay, what's your number two?
I go with Sabotage from 75. You know, there's a whole bunch of great albums from the 70s from Sabbath, of course, but when I was looking at the albums again, thinking about it, and I have to give Sabotage the nod just because it's so consistent. It's from start to finish. I mean, you've got Hole in the Sky, Megalomania, Symptom of the Universe, and on and on. It's just there's no weak spots on that album. I just think it, in a time, it was just before the band really started coming apart in the late 70s, but I think they did a great job writing that album, especially Iommi, obviously.
So you and I share the same number one album in volume four. You know, I've always said on this channel that volume four is one of the top three albums of all time by any band. So it's got to be the top of my list. You know, those, all the songs top to bottom are amazing in my mind. And I don't mind FX actually, because I think it really sets the tone that leads into the best riff ever written in Supernaut. And then the other, well, they're all highlights to me, but the other real highlight is Under the Sun, the ending there. The whole song's great, but that last minute when they just crank it out, it's like they're drilling to the core of the earth. I love that stuff. And then the opener, just the droning mournfulness of Wheels of Confusion, just amazing stuff. Now, number two for me was a little bit more difficult, because I had three albums that are, you know, all four of these albums in the 70s are 10 out of 10, so it's difficult. And the three others that I had in there were Master Reality, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, and Sabotage. But I ended up going with Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, just because I end up reaching for it more often now. So I think it's because I didn't play it as much as the other ones when I was younger. So it still seems a little bit fresher. But regardless, I'm going to point to Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, and tons of deep album stuff here that you can find. I think ones.
When I was looking at it again, because I have anthologies that I use. I don't go to the albums that often. But when I was looking at the albums, what struck me with Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath was that it almost seems like a continuation of volume four to me. It's very experimental, but heavy. So it definitely is a great album. There's no question.
Your two least favorite.
Yeah, you're going to let me take the hate mail.
Oh, yeah.
My least favorite album from Sabbath in the 70s is Paranoid. It's not only the most overrated Black Sabbath album of all time, it's the most overrated heavy metal album of all time. I've never understood why this album is so popular. I mean, War Pigs and Iron Man, I saw Sabbath live most of the times with you. I think I saw them seven times. Whenever they started playing these songs, I went to the washroom and I got a beer. I just couldn't hear them anymore. They're so overrated.
That's like Aerosmith of Dream On.
Yeah. Oh God, let me out of here. And Planet Caravan sucks. Electric Funeral and Hand of Doom, I mean, the endings of them are both good, but you got to sit through two or three minutes of sludgy, bluesy, dated 60s crap to get to it. And I just can't handle it. Paranoid's a good song, and Fairies Wear Boots is a good song, but there's just very little on this album to like, and I have no idea why it's so popular. The second least favorite album of the 70s for me would be the first album. I mean, there's a few good songs on there. Black Sabbath is slow for the most part, but it's a good song, NIB, things like that. But there's just too much bluesy, bluesy stuff. I mean, I think it was recorded in the late 60s and it sounds like it. It's just, yeah. It's boring.
Yeah. Yeah. So my worst, there's definitely two that are battling against each other and a third is as an outlier. But I ended up going with the debut, even though it's historically important for heavy metal, obviously being the first heavy metal album. It is so inconsistent. That second side is just too jammy and throwaway. It is like they went in to record an EP and then they were told at the last minute that they were recording an album. They just kept on jamming away. It's throwaway stuff, even though the first side's pretty good. Now the second least favorite, I agree with you, is Paranoid there. The major songs, the ones that everybody heralds are as great, are not even in the top 30 of the best Sabbath songs, like nowhere close. So I don't understand why this album's on a pedestal. Never
top
did.
Top 30, they wouldn't crack the top 50, maybe the top 70. I just...
Bottom 30, maybe, but maybe I should be talking about that. Yeah, I just don't get it as well. Never did. You want to listen to something from Paranoid? No. No. Why don't you pick a song?
Listen, before we leave the 70s, I just want to say one thing really quick. And that is that there's a couple of underrated albums here.
Yeah.
First one is Never Say Die. I really love that album. I know you're not as strong on it as I am because I just absolutely think it's brilliant. But maybe it's just memories for me because I think that was the first album you and I went to the record store and bought like the day it came out kind of thing. Before that, our older brother had been buying them.
And we stole them.
But I just, I think Never Say Die is a great album. And similarly, Technical Ecstasy is not as good as Never Say Die. But when you look at the songs, I mean, Backstreet Kids, Gypsy, All Moving Parts, Rock and Roll Doctor, She's Gone, another great ballad, Dirty Women. There's some really good songs on Technical Ecstasy. I don't know why it's hated as much as it is.
Yeah. Yeah, specifically with Never Say Die, there's that's been up for debate now in the YouTube community. Heavy metalers debating right now. So it seems to be that more and more people are coming out of the woodwork admitting that they actually like Never Say Die and they're coming to its defense like we are. So we aren't alone. Let's pick something from that one to listen to right now, Jeff.
What about Johnny Blade?
Okay, let's do it. Okay, on to the 80s now. We have six albums to cover, starting with Heaven and Hell in 1980 through to Headless Cross in 1989. So top two faves, Jeff.
I'm, as I think I said earlier, I'm a Dio guy. So for me, Heaven and Hell is the best Sabbath album of the 80s. It's one of their best albums, period. The only part that isn't great, like everything's great, not just good, it's great, except for Lonely Is the Word, I find drags a bit. The guitar solo at the end makes up for it. But I find that's the only downside. The rest of it, I absolutely love. I know a lot of people will probably say that it doesn't compare to, you know, Volume 4 or Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, because it's a much more straightforward album. It's it's heavy metal, but it's almost hard rock. It's it is a very there's not a lot of experimentation going on that album, but Dio's vocals are absolutely amazing. And I just, I think the songs are really well written, even if they are kind of straightforward. The second best album of the 80s, I was going to go with Mob Rules because I love Dio so much, but I mean, Dio is one of my favorites of all time. He's up there with Halford and Phil Mogg from UFO, in my opinion. But thinking about it, I really have to give the second best album of the 80s nod to Born Again. Ian Gillan's vocals are superb. And it's a very, it kind of reminds me in some ways of Volume 4 because it's a little bit of a strange album. There's an oddness to the way it's written. But that doesn't seem to matter because it's just such a heavy and consistent album. Digital Bitch and Trashed, in my opinion, are just absolutely brilliant songs.
Yeah, and Gillan's vocals on the title track, I consider that my favorite singing of all time from anybody. Just harrowing when he hits the top notes there and starts screaming. Holy crap. So my favorite, similar to yours, is Heaven and Hell. Pretty close, though, because I had four albums that are 10 out of 10, in my opinion, there. There was Heaven and Hell, Mob Rules, Born Again, and I even consider Seventh Star as a 10 out of 10. So, but Heaven and Hell is just so historically important, you know. It revived the band's career, and it was hugely important to heavy metal itself at the time. I don't know if you remember, but at the time, we lived through this, and the amount of radio play this got and the push it got, it was major, major for metalheads. And then, of course, you know, the title track all the major songs from the album everybody knows, but it's the deep album tracks that get me, like Die Young, Wishing Well, I actually love, and then Lonely is the Word is one of my favorite songs on that one because of the solo from Iommi extended allows them to really reach out for it. Really love that one. So my second favorite is once again harder to pick because I love the three albums that I was mentioning, but I have to go with Seventh Star. Again, only because I seem to be reaching for it more now than the other two. Definitely in this case, I think it's because I didn't play this album as much. But you know, even though it's a hard rock album, it's not a heavy metal like the other ones are. You know, with Glenn Hughes' vocals on it and the hooks on this one just go for miles. I love every single song on this album, right to the very end. Just amazing.
Yeah, so do I. I think if there's an underrated album of the 80s, that's the one. Yeah. Most fans just ignored it because there's so many lineup changes going on in the band over the years. I mean, over a period of less than a decade, they'd gone through four lead singers and most people just couldn't handle it. But they
and the sound changes too, not just the member changes. This was so such a big change in sound, you know. I can understand why people pushed away, but you know, for those who haven't heard it, put it on, man. It's excellent. Yeah. So how about your least fave?
For the 80s, I'm going to go with Headless Cross. I mean, there's a couple of good songs on it. The title track's good, and When Death Calls is good. And I've got no problem with Tony Martin's vocals. I'm not a huge fan. He's my least favorite Sabbath vocalist, but this isn't his fault. The problem is the writing. It's just like a bland rock album that doesn't seem to be going anywhere. There's no edge to it. I mean, by the late 80s, you and I were just in bars watching thrash and punk bands nonstop. But it seems to me that this is the kind of stuff that hard rock fans were listening to. It's just, there's nothing there that catches my imagination. Similarly, but less so, would be the second least favorite album of the 80s from Sabbath would be Eternal Idol from 87. And this has better songs on it, The Shining, Hard Life to Love, Lost Forever. It's a better album than Headless Cross. But still, other than other than a handful of tracks that I go, yeah, okay, I remember that and it's good and it's in my anthology, the rest of them just went to the cutting room floor, and I just don't visit very often.
So for me, it's definitely Headless Cross. It's my least favorite Sabbath album of all time. I absolutely detest this thing. I would only give it a 5 out of 10. I just do not like the grandiose gothic attitude of this album. This is not what I want to hear from Sabbath. I just hate it. I wouldn't put a second album as a least favorite. In fact, I would say The Eternal Idol is my choice as the one that's underappreciated. It's got some amazing riffs on it. Some of Iommi's best, in my opinion. There's none of that gothic goo that was going on in Headless Cross later on. If you look at the tracks on it, there's the Shining, Hard Life to Love, and Lost Forever, just some of Sabbath's best work there. So why don't we listen to something from that album? Let's listen to The Shining. I'm going to move closer here. Over to the 90s now, and we have four albums, starting with Tear in 1990 and then Forbidden in 1995. So go ahead with your fave ones there, Jeff.
For me, this was easy. As I've said, I'm a Dio guy. So for me, it's Dehumanizer 1992 is my favorite. I know you're not as hot on it as I am, but I think while this album isn't as good as Mob Rules, it's still a damn good album. I like Computer God, TV Crimes, Master of Insanity, Time Machine, I, Buried Alive. I think this is a really strong album, and I have no problem putting it up there with the rest of the Dio catalog. It's not as good, but it's real good. I like this album a lot. My second favorite album of the 90s from Sabbath would be Cross Purposes. This is the best Tony Martin album, in my opinion. We've got Eyewitness, Psychophobia, Immaculate Deception, Back to Eden, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. There's a bunch of good songs on this album. Geezer was still in the band at the time. I think that helped, at least in my mind. It maybe legitimized them more. But I really like Cross Purposes, and so that would be my second favorite.
Yeah, for me, actually, Cross Purposes would be my favorite of the 90s. Strong songs throughout. It's not perfect. I give it like an 8 out of 10. Those strong songs, the Psychophobia, Back to Eden, and The Hand That Rocked the Cradle, great stuff, especially that last one. I would say that's up there as one of Iommi's top 10 riffs. Just an amazing song. And then on my number two, I would go with Dehumanizer. So flip your two. So I'm not as enamored as with this album as you are, as you mentioned. I just find it a little too blocky, too slow, too wooden. There are some highlights there. I love I, Buried Alive, and TV Crimes. And then some of the other songs are pretty good. But again, it's just sullen, slow. I hardly ever play it. And if I do, I just pick individual songs rather than the whole album.
Your comments about Dehumanizer remind me of my thoughts on that Heaven and Hell album later on that the same band put out.
Yeah.
With the Devil You Know.
Yeah. Well, that's another episode.
But that's what I think about that album. Yeah. I don't think that about this album.
Yeah. Okay, what about your least favorites then?
Well, we've only got two left. The worst is Forbidden from 1995. I mean, that first song with Ice-T, I have no conception of what they were thinking. Maybe they thought they were going to get on the radio or something. I don't know.
The rap charts.
Even if they buried that song as the last song, I would have been offended by it. So I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, there's a couple of songs are okay. Shaking Off the Chains, Guilty as Hell is okay too. But I have the same comment about this as I have most of the other Martin material, which is it just seems kind of bland, a little bit slow, hard rocky more than heavy metal. It doesn't do anything for me. Tears a little bit better from 1990. I mean, it's got The Lawmaker, Jerusalem, Valhalla, Feels Good to Me. So there's some better songs on it. So it isn't nearly as bad as Forbidden, but just by default, it's going to have to be my second least favorite.
Yeah. Well, definitely Forbidden. That's basically universally seen as Sabbath's worst album, if you ask anybody. I would put it as second worst. but the band just sound bored and dated, like they're phoning it in. And the sound quality is shit too. So, you know, you put that all together and it makes a crap album. And then, yeah, Tear would be obviously the second least favorite. Now it follows the same gothic approach as the previous album that I hated so much. I always forget the name of it because I hate it so much, Headless Cross. But this one has better production and better songs. So it's at least listenable compared to the other album.
And, you know, I think most longtime fans are going to basically pan Tony Martin. And again, he's my least favorite Sabbath singer, but these albums aren't his fault. It's the writing that is the problem. And that's Tony Iommi's department.
Sure, sure. So the, you know, there are actually a lot of younger folk that actually came into Sabbath in this era, Headless Cross, Tear, and they would point to these two as the highlights of the whole Sabbath discography. So, you know, for old guys like you and I who actually lived through the 70s and grew up with the band and listened to them, I think it's fairly universally seen that Forbidden is the worst and Tear and Headless Cross is most people think it's okay, but I think you and I are a notch below most people in how they view those. So from the over overrated, I would put Dehumanizer. I just think that everybody was really excited about Dio being back in the band, and they give this a little bit too much love. And Cross Purposes is the exact opposite, that I think it deserves more love.
I'll say Cross Purposes is definitely underrated.
Okay, so let's listen to something from Cross Purposes. How about let's go to The Hand That Rocked the Cradle.
No!
Hey, we only have one album left, so there's none issued in the 00s and in the 10s. There was 13 that was issued in 2013. So this record did amazing business at the box office here because, you know, the return of Ozzy after 35 years. But in my opinion, it's just too damn slow. There's nothing catchy on it, just plain boring. And I never hear anybody talking about this album anymore. You know, everybody was talking about how great it was at the time. And then, you know, years later, it's like, you know, everybody realized, oh, it really wasn't that good. I thought it was shit all along. There was, I think it's a Japanese version of this that had four extra tracks. And four of those extra tracks should have been on the album. They should have jettisoned some of the boring, slow stuff off the album proper. So I don't know who made the decision there, but they fucked up, to put it nicely.
I agree. There's only two or three songs on that album that I took for my anthology. And that was mostly just kind of a pity selections to represent the album.
You would not call them A1 Sabbath tracks by any means. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, Jeff. Hopefully we get you on for some future episodes. And for everybody, thanks for joining. And remember to check in on Mondays for our new release Monday podcasts, videos. Tuesdays, we have the In 40 Minutes, where we curate the best 40 minutes for underrated bands or eras of bands. Thursdays, we have our top 10, our best ofs, that sort of thing. And then sprinkled throughout the week, we have album reviews, a lot of them coming from Jeff here. That's at www.themightydecibel.com. Have a great one. Bye. All right, let's see.